Good evening, church.
Good evening.
Welcome back to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Sunday evening. And I want to welcome those up in Facebook land. And if you're out there in the parking lot listening on the radio, and we've had a great day in the Lord today, and I hope you have too. And with further ado, we're going to sing a song. So let's all stand and sing number 451, Tell It to Jesus. Such a friend or brother.
Amen.
That goes along with your little saying right there, doesn't it?
Yeah. I didn't say the saying
this
morning.
You didn't say that this morning.
But you said it.
No, but
you
I didn't
said
say
it. You stole it from me.
No one loves you more than Jesus.
You took it.
No one has done more, no more for you than Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, and if you open your heart to Him today, no one will ever do more for you than Jesus.
Well, I heard you tell Him Jesus loved Him, and I was like, you
yeah.
stole my line. And
yeah.
that's, I just stopped listening to you. No, I'm cutting up. Cutting up. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you. Thankful for you and thankful for the time I get to spend with you. And I know you could be anywhere else that you chose to be, but thankful that you made the effort to come out tonight. And thankful that you are watching by Facebook or listening by the radio. If you do have any prayer needs or need to contact us, if you would just send us a message on Messenger or send us a little note at the bottom as you're watching the services. But also, again, I want to extend out an invitation that if you're watching and whether you've been here and came here before COVID or you've never been here before, I invite you to come and be with us, and we'll make sure that you feel welcome and love and that you will be our honored guest, okay? Just let me know. But tonight we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 10. John chapter 10. But before we do, if I can find the prayer list I had. Do we have any words of praise or any words of testimony this evening? It smells good. Amen. I tell you, I thought I had stepped in something this morning. I kept smelling something. But it wasn't me. Praise God, it wasn't me stinking. So, anybody else got a word of praise or testimony? Amen. And I tell you, a few weeks ago, if you remember, we were talking about the Lord, I believe, is preparing us for the next 40 to 50 years. I think He's establishing us and giving us a foundation again after COVID, that as we move further and further away from it, that God's going to bring in more and more families here at Thomas Village. But I made a statement that we've got to be faithful to stay the course. And I kindly thought at the time I had misspoken. But with what I'm seeing with churches around us closing down and the issues that are going on, I believe that right now, that is the call to stay the course, meaning to, I think it's in Jeremiah chapter 19, that return to the old paths, ask for the old paths. And that doesn't mean we can't bring in new programs and stuff like that, but continue on in the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the growth of the kingdom. So just pray for us, and that we are moving the way that the Lord and the Holy Ghost would have us to move. Anyone else with a word of praise or testimony? Amen. Anyone else? How's Melanie? I got a text and said that things seemed a little bit better. Is she? Pray for me. I got to go have a permanent cap, crown put on tomorrow, and I've put it off for 3 months. So I don't like them poking around in my mouth. Anybody else? All right, in the way of our prayer needs, and if you didn't, there's a prayer list out there that you can pick up as you leave. We want to pray for Denny Arnold, Wayne Bledsoe, as he's getting prepared for his surgery on Tuesday. Sister Moselle, she's dealing with some pain between her shoulders, and we want to continue to lift her up. Sister Peggy DeBoard, David Duncan, Molly Edwards, Pat Fortner, Sister Sally Grebe, and Brother Rob, Terry Hall, Lottie Johnson, Melanie Lester, the Lost, Tom McCowan family, Denise Mosher, our nation's leaders, unspoken prayer needs, Brother Jack Rayside, Larry Rasnick family, Danny and Sherry Roten, Leonard and Nancy Roten, and then we also want to remember Sister Sherry's brother, Kay Russell, Rick Sawyers, Denny Sloan, Peggy Stanley, Dwight Stiles, Arville Susong, Dale Taylor. It's good to see Brother Dale this morning. Joel Thompson family, Rocky Wood family, Eva Yoles family. And then we want to pray for our Vacation Bible School. There's some excitement around it, looking forward to it. We want to pray for the area churches, as I just mentioned, the devil's wreaking havoc or trying to. And then all those that are our shut-ins, our van ministry. Like I said this morning, Brother Otis and Sister Lynn are out of town and we'll be traveling. But are there any other prayer needs that I can add? Oh, shoot. There was one I was thinking of and flat forgot it. Oh, do continue to pray for Mama. She had her surgery on Tuesday, and she was in the hospital until Thursday. and she came home on Thursday. But she's still dealing with a lot of pain and stuff like that. But she wants y'all to know she is appreciative of your prayers and ask you to continue lifting her up as you have been. Any other prayer needs? Also, I want to brag on my boy and on Miss Hammonds. Both of them went to DECA and earned awards last weekend. And then my boy, praise God, found out this week that he is going to Nationals in next month down in Orlando. So I'm going to brag on my boy a little bit there. He's smarter than his daddy ever was. He uses his smarticles. Anything else? Brother Frank, would you come and lead us in a word of prayer and just invite the Holy Spirit to be with us tonight?
Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do want to do what the song told us, is tell it to Jesus, Lord. So if there are things upon our heart this evening, Lord, that are causing us to be distracted from hearing your word or hearing the scriptures this evening, Lord, we just ask you to help us individually to lay it at your feet, Lord, and that we focus upon your word this evening, Lord. We are encouraged, Lord, that you continue to bring families here to Thomas Village Baptist Church, Lord, and we're thankful for that, Lord, and we just pray that we remain faithful in your gospel being told and being spoken out into the community, Lord, and that you would just bless those that come here, Lord, and we just ask that you give us strength to continue on, Lord, for your glory and for your honor, Lord, and we do ask this evening that you be with Brian as he brings a message, Lord, and all those that are upon a prayer list, Lord, with health problems or those that are traveling, Lord, or the individual needs of those people, Lord, that you would just speak to them, Lord, and give them peace in each situation. And those, Lord, that are dealing with difficulties, Lord, we just pray that they humble themselves before you, Lord, and they seek your guidance. They seek repentance, Lord, if that's what's needed, Lord, because the greatest thing about confession to you, Lord, is that we have immediate peace, Lord, that follows thereafter. So I pray that that be on everyone's hearts and minds as they come to you in prayer. And, Lord, we just thank you most of all that you allow us to continue to meet in this building, Lord, and to just sing your praises. And in Jesus' name and for his sake we do pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother. John chapter 10. As I said this morning when we closed service, I didn't really know what I was going to be preaching on tonight. But something kind of stood out to me after I went down and began to prepare, and unknown or unintended on my part, there has been an illustration that has been used in the last two of the last four services that I've preached. And anybody want to make a guess what that illustration that has been used? What did we study last Sunday night? Do you remember? No, not last Sunday night. Remember, I gave you an option between the arm of God and Psalms 23. And what is the, we discussed the relationship of the shepherd to the sheep. And then this morning, the Lord took us back to chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. And in that, we see King David, who is the shepherd, the singing shepherd, you might say, or the poet shepherd who became a king. We see that Nathan used basically a parable of the shepherd, a poor shepherd, and his sheep to bring light to the sin that was in the king's life. And so tonight I want us to go and look at how Jesus describes the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep as he is the good shepherd. So John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, are you there? Alrighty. Truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but instead climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own outside, he goes ahead of them,
The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus again said, "Truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, they will be saved. They will come in and out while finding pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when the wolf is coming. The wolf snatches and scatters the sheep. This happens because he is a hired hand and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. In the same way that my Father knows me, and I know my Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them as well, and they will hear my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own, and I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this commandment from my Father." And may God add the blessings to his scripture. In this passage, Talmadge has been, Brother Frank and Brother Chris, as they've been teaching the youth, have introduced them to a podcast or something like that. I don't know what it is, but it's a daily devotion. And it's been good because it's brought an opportunity for me and Talmadge and his mama to discuss different things. And I think they're doing parables right now. But it's, what is it called? Huh? Oh, it's an app. I got a new app. It takes pictures. It's not scripture. But it's given us opportunity. And a topic come up. Does anybody know what that we see here in this chapter is something unique to only the book of John, and there are seven of them. Do you remember what they are? What it's called? I know you know. You can't know. I'm not going to let you use your smarticles up in here, son. Now, what is it? The seven I ams. Actually, there could be a bonus one, an eighth, which we find right here. But does anybody remember the I am statements? The first one, Jesus in John chapter 6, he's discussing and preaching about the bread of life. And there is when the Pharisees and the Sadducees try to say that the bread of life was the manna which fell down to Moses and the Israelites. But Jesus says, "No, I am the true bread of life. I am the bread that God has supplied from heaven." Does anyone know the second one? It's in John chapter 8 and John chapter 9. "I am the light of the world." Exactly. Beginning in chapter 1, Jesus is declared to be what? The light of the world. And you see a comparison there between darkness and light, between righteousness and unrighteousness. And Jesus is the one that is the pure light, that he is the one that, because of him, any darkness has to flee, has to run away. All right, then in John chapter 8, again, it's linked all the way back to the Old Testament, the prophecy of the Messiah. I am what? Abraham. You remember at the burning bush when Abraham was trying to, Moses, you remember when he was talking to Moses, and Moses was trying to get out of leading the children of Israel. He said, "Well, who am I going to say sent me?" Do you remember how God replied? "I am that I am. I'm the self-sustaining one. I don't need anyone or anything. I am that I am." Then here in chapter 10, verses 11 and 14, we have the good shepherd. Let me ask you this. Do you reckon this morning, as we went through 2 Samuel chapter 12, that Nathan, when he walked in and confronted David, and he used that story about the rich shepherd and the poor shepherd, do you think he was thinking about David's history as a shepherd? You think God used that? I think he probably was well aware of it, and that he was able to link it to him. Remember, when we can feel what another individual feels, when we can empathize with someone, it makes a big difference. All right, John chapter 11, the fifth I am. Yep. Do you remember what's going on in chapter 11? Lazarus, he's at the tomb. I used this Friday talking to Brother Rob, how that Christ is so close to you that it just speak his name even in the difficult times. All right, John chapter 14, verse 6. This is we get 3-for-1 right here. I am what? The way, the truth, and the light. And this links back to the bonus one I was talking about, where here in chapter 10 he says, I am the gate, or I am the access point. What are we told? I think it is in the book of Acts, that there is no other name under heaven given whereby men must be saved. All right, and then the last one, John chapter 15. And we see this as Jesus is, and the apostles have left the upper room and they're heading to the Garden of Gethsemane. And they go through, tradition says that they pass through a vineyard. Do you remember what he said, I am? The true vine, the true vine. And in all of these, there is a declaration. Just by simply using the I am statement, he is going back and linking himself with the divine which confronted Abraham and also Moses. But he also, in different areas here, he links himself to God. And each one of these, he's trying to show a different aspect of who he is to us, who he came to be on our behalf. And tonight this is my prayer, that as we studied selfishness this morning and self-centeredness, that tonight our effort is to do as John says over in John chapter 3 verse 20, where he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And I think that's one thing, that as we recognize those selfish tendencies in our life, that we will immediately turn and give Christ the praise and make him much in our life. All right, first thing tonight, as we talk about the Good Shepherd, we see here that there's actually two different I am's here. The first one is the gate, the access point. And he says that there's no way to come but by the gate. Anybody else who tries to come to the sheepfold, they are robbers and thieves. And I believe that what he's doing there is he's kindly casting a shadow on the Pharisees and the Sadducees at that time. They were trying to gain control. They were trying to be manipulators of the religious system that had been established. And they were not recognizing him as the Messiah. And so he's kindly aligning them, saying that others have been here. But not only did they try to come in another way by not recognizing the true access point, which is Christ Jesus, but also, if you'll notice as well, that it talks about how that they didn't hear his voice. There were false ones that came. There were others that had come before him, but they didn't listen to his voice. Remember, Jesus was just going about from town to town. And remember, what would he tell people lots of times when he would heal them? Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. He was doing his best to keep it low key. In that we see that the power of who he was and the power of the testimony of those that he administered to, people were beginning to listen. But as we talked about the shepherd versus the sheep, when we looked over into Psalms chapter 23, tonight I'm going to give you 4 to 5 different characteristics of the good shepherd and Jesus Christ in the role of the shepherd. Look there in verses 10. Verse 11 and 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Same thing quoted in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. The word good there in the Greek is K-A-L-O-S, kalos. But what it means is a fine character, good, valuable, providing superior benefit, beautiful, attractive, important, or pertaining to a high status. Meaning basically, if we were going to put it in today's word, that it is of my high moral quality and value. And have any of you ever been asked by a brother, Otis, how you doing? And if usually what he would respond, well, I'm doing good. And what, Brother Otis will take you to Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and 17, say, well, they ain't none of us good. There's only one that's been good. This is from the encounter between the rich young ruler and Jesus Christ, where in Matthew 19 it says, just then someone came up and asked Jesus, teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? And then Jesus responds, why do you call me, why do you ask me about what is good? And Jesus said to him, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Here Jesus responds in a way, in a fashion that many Jews would have believed at that time. The only one that is morally superior, the only one that is of high quality and value when it comes to righteousness, is God himself. Everyone else, the Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he's, notice, I think he's trying to lead the rich young ruler into a confession of faith, to state that you are good, you are the embodiment of the Messiah. But here the Lord makes the rich young ruler must have seen something in Christ to tell him that he was not an ordinary or an average man. And Jesus tells him, will somebody kindly give me just a brief summary of the interaction between the rich young ruler and the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember how it happened? He come up to Jesus and he says, good master, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus responds, he basically says, hey, why are you calling me good? There's nothing about, there's no man that's good. And then he tells him to live up to the commandments, live out the commandments. And you remember how the rich young ruler responded? What did he say? Well, hey, man. No, well, he says, I've lived them all. I basically have did all that. And which ones? And he responds back. And he tells him, don't murder, don't do this, don't do that. And he responds, well, I've did that. And then Jesus tells him what? Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, give away it all, give it, sell what you got, and give it to the poor. And then one of the saddest verses in the Bible is in Matthew chapter 19, verse 22. When the young man heard the command, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Think about it. Ties in back to what we studied this morning, right? Self-centered. Those things are mine. I like them. They make me feel comfortable. They make me feel secure. And I don't want to have to give them up. I don't want to have to sacrifice. So we see how that it is sin, selfishness, self-centeredness that keeps us from having the relationship with the Good Shepherd. He's there. He's morally right. He's morally pure. There's nothing about him that wants to manipulate or to use us. It is simply a relationship of love from the greater to the lower. But yet, we won't receive the Good Shepherd because of things and because of selfishness. Any thoughts about the goodness of the Shepherd, Jesus Christ? All right, notice something else about the Shepherd. Not only is Christ good to us, but he protects his sheep. Verse 10, the thief comes only to kill, steal, or to steal, kill, and destroy. Yet I have come so that you may have life and that you might have it in abundance. And here again, we can see that he's saying, hey, I'm going to protect you. You remember Brother J.C. saying last week that in his opinion, sheep are a sickly animal. That they're weak, they're easily wounded. And so that you have to do all that you can as the shepherd to make sure that they're protected from diseases and the food is there and all that. But also we see that he goes on to say that not only is he protecting the sheep by being the shepherd, but also look in verse 9, it says, I am the gate. Anyone that enters by me will what? Be saved. Salvation. That means that their life is secure. Like we said this morning, nobody in their right minds wants to go to a place called hell, to a place of eternal separation and damnation. All of us would love to be saved. I mean, if we knew that there was something coming at us that was going to bring harm and detriment to us, and somebody said, I can stop that in your life, only a fool would reject that. But yet it's the aspect not only of the protection of the Savior, but he's also got to be our Lord. You think about it, that the sheep must submit to the shepherd. If they're working against the shepherd or they're rebelling against the shepherd, then he can't give them everything that they need. If they're going to run off, remember we talked about how that the shepherd with his staff would be able sometimes to rescue them, but he would have to bring difficulty into their lives. He would break their leg so that he could keep them close. And like it, we're told about the poor man who had the one ewe lamb or the baby lamb. What would he do at night with it? He would draw it up into his bosom, and he would hold it in his bosom. And that's what part of the protection. As I was studying this, I was thinking about all the terrors and the dangers and the wickedness that's in the world around us, and that people, especially since COVID, people have been scared to the point of being paralyzed. You know that? There's some that will not get out of their house anymore. And when they do, they've got to be covered up from head to toe, keep the stuff in their pocket that they can kill all the germs and things like that. And all that is terror, fear of what's out there. And as I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but think of the accuser of the brethren, Satan himself. In this passage, he's presented as the wolf, the one that comes to destroy the sheep, to terrorize the sheep and to scatter the flock. But over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, he's presented as the roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone that he can consume. In my mind, I go back to the National Geographic specials on TV, you know, when they focus or they're doing it on the lion. And what you'll see is there's this big old savanna out there, and there's waves of grass, and you might have water buffalo over here, and you may have zebras over here, and then gazelles over in another area. And that old lion is just walking in and out the blades of grass, looking around. And the picture we have here is that right before, as he finds the weak one, kindly moved off away from the pack, because see, the herd is for protection. The flock is for protection. But just before he's going to jump on the prey, what does he do? He roars real loud. And what's that? That kindly stuns the animal. They don't know the direction of that it's coming or where did the sound come from. And before they know it, they've already been grabbed by the neck. And see, that's what he's doing today. He's looking. He's looking for those that are weak. He's looking for those. And then all of a sudden, he'll bring something in our lives or something will happen in our lives, and it'll just kind of shake us a little bit, make us question God's words. But oh, then there's the good shepherd. I can't help but think of David. Now, what did David do when the bear and the lion came in? Oh, he was ready to fight, buddy. Wrote songs about it. Those were his sheep. That was his daddy's name. He wasn't going to allow the enemy to come in and wreak havoc. But he was going to protect because they were valuable to him. The Bible teaches us, Christ Jesus himself said, that as the shepherd, we do not have to fear the enemy. Over in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. And I say to you, my friends, don't fear those who can kill the body, and after that they can do nothing more. But I will show you the one to fear. Fear him who has the authority to throw people into hell after they die. Yes, I say to you, this is the one to fear. So we see that the shepherd is telling the sheep, don't worry about it. I'm taking care of the wolf. I've got my eyes on the lion. All you need to do is listen and focus on the shepherd, because the shepherd is here to provide for you. He's going to protect you and make sure that you're not taken captive or harmed. Any thoughts about Christ as the good shepherd, our protector? Anything come to mind when you think about it? Him protecting, being the shepherd who protects? How about any way that he stood out, that stands out in your mind, to how he's protected you? Oh, there's many ways that he's protected me. I mean, just this week, Talmadge just had a flat tire on his car. I told him, I said, now you're really a driver in the Gunner home. We've all had flat tires. He just joined the club. But that could have happened on the road while he was driving back into the school. I mean, think about this. Every day I pray for the protection of my children, that no harm come to them and that they be blessed and benefited. And so far, every day, they have been. And have I turned back every day to the shepherd and said, thank you for looking out for my flock? No. But he is faithful and he does it. He continues to. The next thing is that Christ Jesus, the good shepherd, faithfully guides his sheep. He guides his sheep. Verse 4, when he has brought all of his own outside, he then goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. If you go all the way back to Psalms chapter 23, verse 2, nothing has changed. He leadeth me beside the still waters, or he lets me lay down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. Just like he was going ahead of his people in the Old Testament, he's continued in the New Testament to lead us and to guide us. As I thought about this, a song came to my mind, and we sing it around here, and it's an old hymn, and to be honest, when we sing it, I don't always really think about the words, but it's Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Remember the part where it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. Meaning that I've got the disposition of wandering. I've got the habit inside of me that I'll leave you, even though I know it's not for my best. Sheep are, as far as I know, sheep are a grazing animal. And if I had to define the word graze, it would be something like this. It's the act of an animal while feeding by continued nibbling and eating of vegetation as they move from one green patch to another green patch. You ever watched a cow, or you ever watched a horse or a sheep as they eat? The head stays down most of the time when they're eating. They'll eat, and they're just moving along. Well, as a sheep, you don't got the fence to keep you in during this time. You didn't have the boundary set up. It was the shepherd who made sure that you didn't graze off into the ditch, or you didn't graze off into a rock pit or anything like that. He went ahead of them, and whenever they would get a little far off, he would speak to them, and he would call their names, and they would respond by coming back. And if they didn't, what did he do? He would go to them, and he would lead them back, because that's what the shepherd does. He guides. And that's the purpose not only of Christ and his word, but remember the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that I'm going to go away, but when the Comforter comes, he'll guide you in all truth. So we have a beautiful fact here that while we may get distracted and we may wander away, the Good Shepherd has already gone ahead of us. And not only does he know the way, but he's prepared the way for us to walk in. There is nowhere that we walk in our daily lives that he has not set foot. And the difficulties, I can't help but think of Brother Rob and Sister Sally and everything that they're going on here, going on at this time, that the Lord has prepared this path. And I'm still praying for healing. I'm still asking God to touch her. But whatever it is, whatever the outcome is, God has made the way for it. And the same is true for each and every one of us. Whatever path, whatever comes in our path, God has already went before us. Any thoughts on the guidance of the shepherd? Can I tell you something else, though? A lot of people want to hear from God, don't they? But how many people are committed to reading their word? You see, That's the main way that the shepherd speaks to us and guides us. It's through his scripture. This is his voice right here. Now, yes, he'll use the Spirit and he can give you inklings and thoughts, but every one of them is going to have to line up with this word. If you ever think God's talking to you, if you ever think the shepherd's guiding you in a way and it doesn't line up with scripture, then that's not the good shepherd. He'll never go against the truth of scripture. All right, the next one, number four. The good shepherd nurtures his sheep. The good shepherd nurtures his sheep. There, this one, turn over to Isaiah chapter 40. We'll make you Bible drill a little bit here. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. And this is just part of the beautiful picture where the Messiah is prophesied. Just like in Psalms 23, that the good shepherd, the Messiah, when he comes, he's going to guide us by the still waters. Anybody in Isaiah chapter 40? All right, verse 11. Will you read it? Now, if you notice in that scripture, it doesn't say nurture, but we see different elements. We see that the shepherd will feed his flock. We've already talked about that. We see that the shepherd will gather his lambs in his arms. We see that he'll carry them in their bosom, and the shepherd will gently lead them. Even in the Old Testament, the Messiah is presented as the good shepherd. Now, the word nurture, how would you define the word nurture? Anybody?
Care for.
Care for. That's a good one. That's part of the definition, actually. Anything else? Nourish and sustain. The definition says it's elements of care, training, protection, and other parts that are supplied during the crucial period of development for a specific purpose, so that the sheep will get to its full potential. The environment, he gives the food. Think about the poor shepherd this morning. What did it say? It says that the sheep ate with his family. It says that the sheep drank with his family. It said that at night the sheep, he would take it and draw him up in his bosom and pull him close so that he could receive rest without fear or concern. You see, it's the whole environment that is set up. That's the nurturing of the shepherd. And that is what Jesus Christ has done for you and I, and is continuing to do to this day. Think about it. It's not just when we think about the shepherd and him setting up the environment for our best. It's not just some far-off image in our mind of some flock that's eating the best and drinking the best. But it's a reality that when he was on the cross, when he was standing there before, let's go back even further than that. On the night he was arrested, and they carried him before the Sanhedrin, and they carried him before the high priest, and there were men and women standing there lying about and giving false testimony on him. You know what he was doing? He was establishing an environment for you and I. When he was being whipped, his beard was being plucked, and the nails were being driven in his hands, he was establishing an environment for us to reach our full potential, to be what he has called us to be. On the third day, as the stone began to move on the face of the rock, it was awesome, and yes, it's victory, but it was establishing an environment for us to be benefited and to be blessed and to grow. And even today, while he works in our lives, as we see and feel things that maybe we don't feel like is the best, and sometimes we think that God has forgot about us, he is always working on our behalf. The Bible says that he ever liveth. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and that it is his pleasure and privilege to intercede or to engage with the throne on our behalf. He is continuing to provide an environment that allows us, if we'll receive it, to become more than conquerors and be those overcomers that he's called us to be. The good shepherd extends the greatest of care, the greatest of concern, and the greatest of provision. The good shepherd nurtures those that are in his flock. Any thought about that? Number five, the last one. Jesus Christ as the good shepherd is totally invested with his sheep. The good shepherd is totally invested with his sheep. Look there at John 10, beginning in verse 12. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. He leaves and runs away when he sees the wolf coming. Then the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep. This happens because he is a hired hand and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. In the same way that my Father knows me and I know him, I will lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus Christ, or the good shepherd, is nothing like a hired hand. And vice versa. The hired hand is nothing like the good shepherd. During this period, from what I could tell, the hired hand wasn't one from the household. It wasn't one from the family. It was just somebody that came in and they worked for their own benefit. You know, they would go out, they'd spend time with the sheep. They might feed the sheep. They might wash the sheep and look at, they trade hours, sweat, and maybe a little effort, and they would get paid for what they've done. And that's why when the wolf would come, or when the enemy would come, the danger came in, they weren't willing to give their life. You know why? Because they weren't going to lose anything. It was when, if they engaged and they got wounded, that's when they would lose something. And so instead, when they saw the danger, when they saw the enemy, the wolf, the lion, the bear, they would get out of there. They didn't care about the sheep. But the shepherd, most of the time, the shepherd came from the house of the family that owned the sheep. Think about David. David was Jesse's boy. Those sheep were Jesse's sheep. And so what we see is that David had a life investment in those sheep. That's where Jesse got the money to take care of the family. That's where Jesse got the food, the clothing, and all the supplies that the family got. That's how Jesse took care of it. But also, there was also a reputation invested in those sheep. When people would come and go, maybe they had business to do with Jesse, or they were passing by as they went to so-and-so, they would look across and they would see the flock of the sheep. And if those sheep looked run down, scrawny, disease-ridden, that reflected on Jesse. They'd say, Jesse, what's going on? Is something wrong in the house of Jesse? Because his sheep look bad. His sheep look sickly. And see, when they go by and those sheep were fat, their coats were thick, they said, Jesse must be doing well. Jesse's sheep look good. Jesse's sheep are blessed. Man, Jesse's got the best sheep around. And see, it was Jesse's reputation revealed through the work that David done with the sheep. Does that make sense? Just like Jesus. Jesus came not representing himself, did he? He came representing the Father. He came, he said, I'm here doing the work of my Father. I'm showing the plan and the purpose of the Father. And what a beautiful picture we have in David. That's what he was doing as well. And what did God do? God exalted David. God took him from the field. He took him from the battle grounds where he was with Goliath, and he made him a king. You see, that's why we need to understand and know more about the Old Testament, because in the same way that we see David taken from a lowly estate and then placed on the throne, that is what God is doing with his son Jesus. Yes, he came in the form of a servant, but when he comes back, he'll be on King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so in that, we see that the shepherd, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, is totally invested in the life of his sheep. That's why he did lay down his life, because it's his reputation. That's why I am so sold out on eternal security. It's not about us. What did Jesus say? I ain't lost none of them. None that you have given me, I've not lost. Not because we deserve it, but because he's invested totally in the sheep. And that is how awesome it is to have Jesus Christ as our good shepherd. You can't get any better than Jesus Christ. And we're all slaves to something. We're all surrendered to someone. But only Jesus allows us to surrender and makes us dwell in the house of a king. Isn't that awesome? And so I guess God's just got me on the sheet because I'm realizing, or he wants me to realize just how dumb I actually am, how slow I actually am, and how much I need a good shepherd. For if not for a good shepherd, we'd be in bad shape. Old Brownie boy would be. Any thoughts or any questions on the good shepherd? Come back Wednesday night because we'll be continuing on in our study of the spiritual gifts. And we'll be moving on to look this week. We'll be getting to the point to where we can define them and to see how they actually have been given to us and the role that they play not only in our lives as the person that God has given them to, but also, remember, we said this morning that we're to be a part of. We're to be one linked with one another and how that our gifts are to link up with our brothers and sisters in Christ. All right. I pray you have a blessed week. Deacons, don't forget we need to meet just for a few minutes after service tonight. Brother Scott, would you close us out in a word of prayer?